Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning, my friends. It is a great morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice in it and be glad. I'm getting anxious to see you here. And tonight, we're going to get a chance to see some of you in your cars anyway. We have our first drive-in church service. Now, I never thought I'd see the day that we'd have drive-in church services, but it's tonight at 7:30. We'd love to see you there. It's going to be a time of prayer and worship. We'll have a little bit of the Word. It's just going to be a fun time, so be there at 7:30 tonight. Now, today, the Lord has laid a special message on my heart. And I just want to pray and get down to it. I mean, I'm excited. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit today. And I want to pray a special prayer right now for you. And it goes like this. Father God, right now, please open the hearts of the people that they might see and hear what you want them to see and hear. Feel free, Lord, to convict us of any areas in which we're living wrongly. Feel free to confirm things in our life, encourage us, teach us. Lord, we're open right now to whatever you want to do. And then, Lord God, fill me up as your vessel and speak through me. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody can say amen. I hear you. Amen? Amen. Now, today I want to have a conversation with you about living in the Spirit. Now, a quick backdrop. For centuries, people lived on this earth without really knowing how to walk with God. They were religious. They were seeking to know God, and they were trying to figure God out, trying to get a relationship with Him through different kinds of things, but they didn't know how to walk with Him. They didn't know God intimately like we do today, and so God had a plan. He sent His Son Jesus to the earth, and the first thing Jesus did when He got on this earth was He validated His credentials. That is, He proved to people that He was who He said He was. In one place in Scripture, He said, even if you don't believe that I'm who I said I am, He said, just believe in the works that I do. Now, there's one passage in Scripture that really comes to my mind right now, where John the Baptist is in prison and he sends somebody to find out if Jesus is really who he said he was. And he sends somebody to go find out about Jesus. And Frederick Buechner paraphrases the response that Jesus sent back to John the Baptist. And I like the way he paraphrased it. He puts it this way. He said, you go tell John what you've seen around here. Tell him that there are people who have sold their C&I dogs and taken up bird watching. Tell him that there are people who have traded in aluminum walkers for hiking boots. Tell him the down and out have turned into the up and coming, and a lot of deadbeats are living it up for the first time in their lives. I like that. Jesus validated his credentials. As a result, he had multitudes following him, multitudes showing up on a hillside for his sermons. And he also trained 12 guys. He chose 12 special guys and he trained them so they could carry on his mission when he left this earth. And they were called the 12 apostles. Basically, what he said to these guys, he said, you know what? I'm going to train you. And then when I leave, you're to carry on my ministry on the earth. In fact, in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 disciples there. And so after Jesus died for our sins, and after he resurrected, there's something in Scripture that really interests me. And we saw it in our devotions this last week in Ephesians 4 and 8. Take a look at this. It says, therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this is very interesting. I think what God is saying to us through the Apostle Paul here is that when Jesus resurrected, he did two things. He took all those who had died in Christ and took them to heaven with him so they could live in the presence of God forever and ever. Those people who died in Christ went with him to heaven, and 24/7 they were living in the presence of God. But simultaneously with taking them to heaven to be in the presence of God, he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to men so they who were left on the earth could also live in his presence 24/7. That's pretty cool. The Lord's Prayer says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. That's where we come into the picture at. Like the disciples of old, we are on this earth to pick up where Jesus left off. And we have to have the Holy Spirit to help us. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, he said, go to the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit. He said in retrospect, he said, don't try to go out there and minister for me without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hello, can I say that again? He said, don't try to go out and fulfill the Great Commission without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing has changed today. We can't do anything of spiritual significance without the Holy Spirit. Now, look at Ephesians 5, 14 through 20. It says, for this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of every moment of the day, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled. And this word in the Greek means continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to God. What's that a picture of? Always giving thanks for all things. Why does it say that? Because when you're really walking with the Lord, all things turn out in some way for good. And then it goes on. After that, I won't read. 20 is good enough. But I want you to see something. And that is, we, like them, cannot carry on the work of the Lord on this earth. We, like them, cannot fulfill God's will for our life without the presence and the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul digs up a really good illustration here. Look at this. 5:18, let's look at it again. He says, and don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled, constantly filled, continually filled with the Spirit. Now, unfortunately, bless your heart, many of you know by experience what alcohol does to a person. It alters their behavior. It strongly influences them. Alcohol, when you drink enough of it, causes you to say things and do things you wouldn't ordinarily do or say. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Why do people get drunk with alcohol? Why? Number one, they probably want to be happy. They also want to forget their problems. They also want to forget about whatever's stressing them out. For example, a guy can be at work at 2 o'clock, and this guy can be a moody guy. He can be griping about everything, insulting everybody. He can just be depressing to be around. And then at 5 o'clock, he gets off, goes down to the nearby bar, drinks a few beers, gets tipsy, gets drunk. And now all of a sudden he's hugging people and he's singing songs and he's laughing. Listen to me. Anything of value that alcohol can bring to you, God can do more than that. He can do more than whatever that does. Just by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 13, 52. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Look at Psalms 4, 7, 8 in the Message Bible. I have God's more than enough, more joy in one ordinary day than they get in all their shopping sprees. At day's end, I'm ready for sound sleep, for you, God, have put my life back together. Who does God use in the Bible? Only one type of person, only one type. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 11, 24. Barnabas, he was a good man. And that's good that he was a good man, but he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And because of that, considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Look at Acts 6, 1 through 3. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, because of that, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom." Those are the guys we want in charge of the task, those who are full of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 6 and 5. The statement found approval with the whole congregation. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and a man full of the Holy Spirit. Do you get the point? Now, someone heard what I was speaking on today and they said, "I know of an illustration another preacher used, and I wished I knew his name so I'd give him credit." And they told me about an illustration with milk, and I don't know how he used it, but my mind began to think this thing through, and I want to illustrate it to you, and I hope you can see it. Every believer is like this glass of milk. Now, once we get born again and ask the Holy Spirit to come and live in our body, it's like this chocolate. The Holy Spirit comes once we're born again, and we have the Holy Spirit in our life. But most believers, or a lot of believers, maybe not most, they don't recognize the Holy Spirit in the day as they go to the laundromat, or they go to the grocery store, or they go to run errands. Most people are not living by the Holy Spirit. And I think that's one of the reasons that Paul told young Timothy to stir up the Spirit, to stir up the gift that's in you. Now, once we start being filled with the Holy Spirit, now he's in our life. We have a full dose of the Holy Spirit. He's in our life. He lives inside of our body. But he's dormant in most Christians' lives, or in a lot of Christians' lives. But once we get into the Word and prayer and we start fellowshipping on a daily basis, what happens is we start stirring up the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We start stirring up the power. And look what happens. A whole different creature. A whole different creature. Now, people ask me all the time, "Ron, can you be practical? How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit?" Because I might say in Ephesians, the word's in the passive form. And it means that we can't fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, but God has to fill us. But I do believe if we do the right things, that puts us in the position to be filled. So I'm not going to speak on this today, but let me make it very simple. I believe that being filled with the Holy Spirit is when you do whatever you have to do to energize your faith. See, it's different for all of us. What kind of things energizes your faith? For some of us, it's praise music. For some of us, it's reading the Bible. For some of us, it's quoting the Bible out loud. For some of us, it's praise and prayer. For some of us, Christian fellowship. And for some of us, it's a little bit of all of that. Do whatever you have to do to energize the Spirit in you, and he'll fill you up. Now, When people are filled with the Holy Spirit, it affects different people in different ways. There's not a one size fits all. See, I want to separate being filled with the Holy Spirit with just pure emotionalism. That's not what it is. But let me give you an example, and I used this before. Years ago, one day, I was down at Costa Mesa, and I went into a Christian bookstore when those creatures used to be present. I mean, I don't know how many Christian bookstores there are anymore. But I went into this Christian bookstore. It was at Calvary Chapel. It was on their campus. And I walked in that day, and this lady came out and says, "Good morning, you little precious child of God. And what can I do for you today? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Are you being filled with the Holy Spirit today?" And I said, "Yeah." "Okay, what can I do for you, child of God?" And I just stared at her like, "Are you for real?" "I haven't ever quite seen anyone like you." So I got my stuff, and I'd forgotten to get something. So I went back the next day again to pick up something that I'd forgotten. And I thought, "Let's see if this lady's the same." And so I walk in the store, and here she comes. "There's that child of God again from yesterday. Are you being filled with the Holy Spirit today? What is Jesus saying to you? Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And I thought, she's real. That's who she is. And that's what it looks like when she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was Chuck Smith. I loved him. Loved to listen to him when he was alive, and still listen to him a lot today. Chuck Smith was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he would come out, and he had that deep voice, and he'd go, "Ha, ha, 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 ha." And he would divide the Word of God, and he was just so full of love and peace and joy, but he was so calm. Or maybe being filled with the Holy Spirit would be like what I've depicted many times. I've said when I'm older, I'd love to live in the mountains somewhere, have a big porch, and I'd like to have the reputation as the man of God who lives on the hill. And I chew on a blade of grass every day. I go out and sit in my rocking chair on the porch at about 6 in the morning. I sit there at about 2, and people down in the valley go, "Man, you can find the man of God on his porch from about 6 in the morning to 2, and you can go up and he'll talk to you." That's the way I see it. It's my wild imagination. People come up and they say, "There's the man of God. He's on the porch. Go ahead and talk to him." I want to be chewing a blade of grass when they walk up. I'll go, "Yes, child." They'll tell me their problem, and I'll just sit and stare at them for 30 seconds. And then in my dream, or in my imagination, I want to be the guy who's so full of wisdom, I say one sentence to him and it just blows him away, and they go, "Oh my gosh, I've never seen that before." And they leave, and I just sit there and chew on my blade of grass as I watch them leave. Maybe that's what I will look like when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and older too. Maybe that's a prophetic revelation. Who knows? Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit will look different to different people. It'll look different when they are filled. Now, let's go to something else here, and I think it's very important. Let's go. What I want to do is I want to take 4 things, if I have time, and I'm going to watch the clock very closely. 4 things that the Holy Spirit will help us do, or maybe I should say 4 things that will grow in us because of our relationship to the Holy Spirit. And the first one I want to talk about is this. The Holy Spirit helps us defeat sin in our life. Now, you must understand that all sin is destructive in nature. In fact, if something wasn't destructive to your life, God would have never called it sin, all right? Look at James 1, 14, 15 in the Message Bible. It says, "The temptation to give into evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust." Lust gets pregnant and has a baby. Ta-da, sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. Sin is destructive to you, and that's why God calls it sin. But look at Galatians 5, 16. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." This is powerful. Don't turn me off now. Now, notice what this verse doesn't say. It doesn't say, stop walking in the flesh, and then you'll walk in the Spirit. Now, this is really, really important, so put your thinking cap on. When you walk in the Spirit and you obey the voice of the Spirit, you won't want the things of the flesh. One displaces the other. For example, for about 10 years, this church had a ministry at the Las Vegas Porn Convention, and some of you don't know anything about that, and I have to explain it or it won't make sense. See, we have a church in Las Vegas, and we have people that are members of that church that we won to the Lord at the porn convention. And we felt one day that Jesus would go into the marketplace. We wanted to go to where the sinners were at, and there's a lot of sinners at the porn convention. We had a booth there, and we gave out free all kinds of books, Purpose-Driven Life. We gave out Bibles. We gave out CDs and thumb drives on how to get out of the bondage of sin, how to give your life to God. We had a prayer request board. We took prayers, requests for people. We called them back here where people were praying. I mean, it was a very popular booth. We gave away thousands and thousands of books and CDs and thumb drives, and we got to engage a lot of people and pray for them. We actually led people to the Lord at the booth. Crazy, crazy good ministry. But you know, some people would always ask us, how do you do that? You're a guy. And I would say to them that the power of the ministry at the porn convention came from being filled with the Holy Spirit. See, we didn't go to the porn convention with the priority of not lusting after the flesh. Our emphasis was not on, I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to give into the flesh. I'm not going to think bad thoughts. That was not our emphasis. Our emphasis was on getting filled with the Holy Spirit and going out and winning people for God. And when we stayed focused on that, we didn't have a problem with the other stuff. It was amazing. We would show up early in the morning at a hotel room, and we'd put on praise music. Sometimes we'd lay on our face. We would pray. We would seek God. We'd get filled with the Holy Spirit. And once we left that hotel room to walk down to that porn convention floor, we were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, listen to me. Don't major on saying no to the flesh as much as you major on saying yes to the Spirit. Romans 8 and 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from the law of sin and death. One law overrides the other. Look at Romans 8, 4 through 6. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, this is one thing that concerns me about the coronavirus season we're in right now. I'm afraid some of you are going to get out of the habit of walking in the Spirit, and as a result, fleshly desires will start overtaking you again. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the picture that I've seen of this whole season right now. Yes, the coronavirus is serious. People are getting sick. They're dying. And my heart bleeds for them. As a church, we're trying to be compliant. We go out. We wear masks. We're courteous of other people. We try to do the social distancing thing. I mean, yeah, our heart goes out to those people that are getting sick and dying. But I don't know if you've seen it, but I believe it's very, very true that behind this whole coronavirus, there is a major big war going on between light and darkness. There is a war going on between the Republicans and the Democrats. There's a whole lot more to this whole thing than meets the eye, I'm telling you. It's deeper than what you think. Well, I said all that to say, it's time for the church to stand up and start praying. And tonight, we will start doing that at our drive-up church. Not start doing it. We've been doing it. But we're going to do it in a different way tonight. But it's time that we stand up and pray. So the first point is the Holy Spirit is the antidote to temptation and sin. Next, the Holy Spirit, when you live with Him long enough, He'll make you into a people lover. The fruit of the Spirit is love. God is love. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, and He brings love into your life. Now, the longer I walk with God, the more I love people. I was coming home from church the other day, and I saw a young lady running down the road. She tripped and fell and rolled in the road, and my first response was, oh, I feel so sorry for her. And I went up, and I rolled down my window. I said, are you okay, sweetheart? And she was embarrassed. She says, yeah, I'm fine. But my heart just went out to her. I said, is there anything I can do for you? Now, I might not have done that 30 years ago, but it's just the love. Price is Right. I try to watch it every day. I love The Price is Right. I even find myself connecting with certain contestants and going, man, that person reminds me of my granddaughter. That person reminds me of my daughter. That person reminds me of my son. And I just start loving for those people. And even though it's taped, I pray for them to win, but it's taped. And so it isn't going to do any good. And if they don't win, I turn it off. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love doesn't know God, for God is love. When Jesus fed the 5,000, it says he was influenced to do that because he had compassion for the people. I don't know what happened. Jesus is teaching these people, and all of a sudden, he feels sorry for them. His heart goes out to them because they haven't eaten a good meal in a few hours. What kind of God do we serve? That he cares about little things like that? He loved the people so much, he didn't want to see their stomachs growling. That should still be our driving force in ministry today. And I've said it too many times, I won't repeat it. But when someone comes up to VBF to get healed, I'm not out there to do a miracle and do something fantastic so everyone can see how big God is. I'm just saying, I got to get you healed. And I don't care if I need to get a chiropractor over here to pop your back, or if I need to give you a laxative, or I don't care. I care for you. I love you. That's my driving force, and I want to see you not hurting. I think you get that. I've said that many times. Jesus truly loved people. I have to confess that the longer I live, the more I seem to love people. You know, something else about Jesus that really blows me away is that he loved to praise people. That's a really cool quality. I mean, make them feel good about themselves. Sometimes Jesus deflected the credit for a miracle to the person themselves. He'd say, you know what, buddy, your faith made you well. About John the Baptist, he said, none greater has ever been born of a woman. And that had to make John feel pretty good about himself. To Peter, he said, your name's The Rock. I made Peter feel pretty macho, probably. And the lady in Mark 14, you might know the story. Jesus is at a dinner party in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. A lady comes in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. She breaks it, pours it over the head of Jesus, and some of the Pharisees and some of the more religious than thou people that were there go, that's a shame. That perfume should not have been used that way. We should have sold it and taken the money and given to the poor. But Jesus, in the presence of the lady, this had to make her feel good. He says, no, this is a really beautiful thing she did. He said, in fact, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, they're going to tell her story. And they're going to tell it in memory of her. You did a good thing, sweetheart. I mean, do you see Jesus in that light? That's so cool. He said that in her presence. Jesus quickly connected with people, the woman at the well, the commercial fisherman, the young rich ruler, Zacchaeus, the tax collectors. They felt safe with him. Come on, listen to me close. They felt safe with him. Something about the warmth of Jesus drew them in. Little kids like to come to him. Come on, we got to see this. I mean, this is crazy. I caught this in our devotions this last week, Ephesians 4:1-2. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble. Be gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. He didn't say here, be courageous, audacious, be loud, be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, no, be warm, be loving. See, there are three things Jesus liked to do. And I'm going to let you play along with me. These three things, they all start with the letter P. Do you want to guess? First of all, number one, Jesus liked to pray. Number two, Jesus liked to preach. What's the third one? Jesus liked to party. Some of you are getting pretty ticked right now. Say, I cannot believe that you would have the audacity to say that Jesus liked to party. Before you get all riled up, let me give you the definition of party. It's a social gathering of invited guests, typically involving eating, drinking, entertainment. We saw Jesus do his first miracle in Cana of Galilee, and we know there was drinking there because he provided the wine. And I'm sure there was entertainment there. There was eating. Jesus went to a tax collector's home for a dinner. And I'm sure there was entertainment there. They're probably telling jokes and stories. I would like to have been a fly on the wall. You know, when a lot of these rough people got together, I mean, tax collectors and commercial fishermen, you know, there were some bad jokes going around. You know that there was some off-the-wall stuff being said, but Jesus didn't let it offend him because he came to influence the party, not the party influence him. And if you can do that, you can still go to parties today. He had a beach barbecue in the gospel. Hey, guys, I got some fish on the barbecue. Come on, let's have a barbecue. At Simon the leper's house, that they had a dinner party. At the Pharisee's house, they had a party, and a prostitute even crashed the party. Now, that's a party, I'll tell you. She crashed it, and something beautiful happened because of it. In Matthew 22, there's a parable of the wedding feast. Prodigal son, the story ends with a party. Zacchaeus' house, in the book of Revelation, we're going to end our time on this earth and go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Listen to me. I know that that's kind of hard on your ears when I say Jesus liked to party. But I can say it another way. He liked to go to dinner, social gatherings. You can say it however you want to say it. But it tells us something about the nature of Jesus, that sinners would invite him to their house for dinner, that sinners wanted to be around him. Vile, nasty, dirty people wanted to be around him. What does that say to us? What does that say to the church today? He liked to go to dinner at people's homes. He liked to hang out. He liked to be with people. Rarely did he turn down an invitation to people's homes. Now, don't go calling me to have dinner at your house next week. I know that there was a custom of that day. Today, our life's so busy, it's different. But what it boils down to is we need to be people, whether that be having a coffee with them at Starbucks or calling them on the phone and spending 30 minutes with them or however we do it on social media. We just need to be people. Now, if Jesus had a cell phone, it would be very interesting and probably shocking to see his contact list. He had prostitutes on there. He had commercial fishermen on there. He had tax collectors. He had Roman soldiers on there. He had lepers and poor people and rich people. Now, listen to me. The Holy Spirit's the Spirit of God. And God is the Father of Jesus. And God is love. And Jesus depicted love. And whatever drove Jesus will drive you as you grow in Christ. Whatever inspired Jesus is going to inspire you as you grow in Christ. Whatever he was like, you should be becoming right now. He said, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. I'm only going to have time to do one more, but this is really important. Stay with me. The Holy Spirit wants us to become warriors. He wants us to be people who know how to war in the Spirit. 2 weeks ago, or three, I told you that we are the bride of Christ, and he's the bridegroom. Now, I want you to picture a bride that's beautiful and lovely and endearing, but also a warrior. See, I get interested and kind of amused at some of these movies coming out today and these shows on TV about macho women. They can be so sexy, so attractive, so beautiful. They have their night or their gowns on at night, and they go out on the town, and they just look beautiful. They look gorgeous in one scene. In the next scene, they're knocking the crapola out of three men using nunchucks and using their karate, and they're throwing them. I mean, it's crazy. A lot of these movies are coming out. Woo! Maybe that's kind of a picture of the bride of Christ. I found this picture on the internet. Here's the bride of Christ. Look at that. Ho, ho, ho! She's beautiful. She's glamorous. Oh, wow. You young guys would like to marry her. But look, she's a warrior. Now, like my wife, don't mess with my wife. You don't want to tangle with her. She's a little petite thing, but I'll tell you, that lady is a firecracker. Dynamite comes in small packages. She knows how to pray. I'm telling you. See, no joke, I'll never forget this. 2 or 3 years ago, I had done something, and it really, really ticked her. She says, you're just mean. I said, me? She says, yes. You know what? If you don't stop this, God's going to kill you. He's going to take your life. Couldn't believe she said it. No joke. Just the way it happened. 10 minutes, I was in the shower showering, and I choked. I don't know if I was on water or whatever, and I couldn't breathe. I was going, and I was saying, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me for being mean to my wife. Forgive me, forgive me. I thought I was dying. I thought she prayed me dead. Wow. We're partners in ministry. I also brought that in my sermon. For example, I got a haircut today. Guess who gave it to me? My wife. Where'd she learn to cut hair? I've never asked her. I don't know. I had a problem with clothes yesterday. She said, you know, I know how to sew. I can change any of that. She used to make my shirts. Back in the day, they were big collared shirts. She made them for me. She made her own clothes. I mean, she played the piano. Remember that story? I never knew she played the piano. We'd been married 3 years, and one day I said, I'm going to take piano lessons. And she said, well, I can play. I said, you play the piano? We've been married 3 years. She played the piano for the church. See, God knew what he was doing when he gave me Debbie. She was tailor-made for me. She's my partner in ministry. See, some of you need to fight harder for your marriage because God has given you the right person. You're trying to divorce them because they're being who God's called them to be. They're being sandpaper in your life. God's using them to make you get your game together, and you're getting angry and trying to divorce them instead of appreciating them. Look at Ephesians 6:10 in the Message. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials. Look at that same verse in the New American Standard. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. What? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We need to learn how to be warriors in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach us. Right now, the church needs to stand up and say enough is enough. We got to start praying over our nation, our country, praying for our governor, and doing it with a warrior-like spirit. Pastor Ron, I can't pray for our country right now because I've got a bad marriage. What do I do about my bad marriage? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I have a financial problem. What do I do? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What do I do about my kids? They're AWOL. They're not serving God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The same about your spouse is getting drunk. You stand up, put the warfare on, and you wage war against that. And you tell your husband or whoever's getting drunk or doing bad things, say, you know what? This isn't going to last any longer because I'm going to start praying that God, well, I won't even say it. He heals you or kills you. We've got to stand up. We've got to become people of war. In the book of Acts, these timid apostles became on fire warriors for Jesus all through being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm out of time. I don't want to go any longer. I might pick it up again next week. I might not, because I have a whole lot more to say to you. But in the ending, I have something else that God's laid on my heart. Gang, this is a tough time right now. In our life, in our country's life, in the world's life. And I want us to start praying for one another and holding one another up. A few weeks ago, or last week it was, on Mother's Day, I asked you to take your cell phones out and write something to a mother figure or to your mother or whatever. Right now, I'm going to pray that God will lay another brother or sister on your heart. And before this day is over, you will call them or text them and say, are you doing okay? Can we do a FaceTime chat? Can we do something on Zoom? Can we maybe get together with social distancing and have a coffee together? Gang, we got to be our brother's keeper right now. A lot of Christians are getting out of the habit of going to church. They're getting out of the habit of sharing the gospel. They're becoming lockdown lazy. So right now, I want you to let God lay someone on your heart and encourage them. The body of Christ has to encourage one another, because it won't be long till we're back at church, and I want to see a lot of people coming back. I realize also that God's shaking everything that can be shaken right now, and some people that were playing church probably won't come back, but others will hang in there. Now, if you're listening to me today anywhere in the world and you've never been born again, it's very simple. You just need to get alone today and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want to live this way any longer. So today, God, I want to start living for you, but I know I need help. The truck driver who helped lead me to the Lord one day, he responded to me when I said to him, I said, I can't live for God. I love sin too much. I can't live for God. I just know I can't. Why should I even start? He said, you don't get it. He said, if you want to live for God, do you want to? I said, well, I want to. I just don't think I can. He should come to God and ask him to send his Holy Spirit and live in your body. And the Holy Spirit himself will live that life through you. The Holy Spirit will change what you feel. He'll change your desires. He'll change your direction in life. Once the Holy Spirit comes into your body, he'll change your DNA. So if you're listening to me today, you've never been born again. I don't care if you're religious. You've never been born again. Get alone today and say, God, I want to be your child. Send the Holy Spirit. Come and live in my body, because I want to start following Jesus starting today. Listen, you didn't start watching this broadcast because of a coincidence. I believe everybody watching, the Holy Spirit led you to watch this today because he had something he wanted to say to you. So right now, I'm going to pray this prayer. Wherever you're at, if you want to give your life to God, just repeat after me and say, God, today I want to give my life to you. Today I want to give my life to you. And so I ask you to forgive me for living life without you. And today I ask you to send the Holy Spirit, come live in my body, make me one of your kids, and give me the power I need to live for you. And if you did that, and you want to call this number, get something to write it down. There's people, there's pastors out there to talk to you. Right now, you can call. The number is 661-325-2251. I'll say it again. 661-325-2251. I love you guys. I'll see you either tonight or I'll see you here, there, or in the air. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.